night.
Out of the night comes a whispering voice of the night wind to tell another story of man's battle with fate. The true story tonight of a brazen murder plot that went astray.
Why should I kill my wife? We were happy together. She was generous with her money. I never wanted for a thing. Why should I kill her?
Happened one blustery evening in late February 1919 in the quiet little village of Long Beach on the south shore of Long Island, New York. The 9:30 p.m. train from New York has just pulled in. Only two passengers have alighted. Elderly Dr. Walter Wilkins, a retired physician, and his wife, Julia. They set off for their home in Olive Street, and on the way past Police Sergeant Schneider.
Good night, Sergeant.
Good night, Doc. Good night, Mrs. Wilkins.
Good night.
Keeping you busy, Sergeant?
Busy. Nothing's ever happened in Long Beach in 50 years.
Well, you should be the last to complain about that.
Oh, I'm not complaining, ma'am, but a guy does like a bit of excitement now and again.
Such as what?
Oh, a nice juicy murder, for instance. Well, good night, Doc. Good night, ma'am.
Little does Officer Schneider realize how soon his wish is to be granted. Exactly 23 minutes later, he hears the sound of running footsteps approaching.
Sergeant! Sergeant! Oh, come quickly! Sergeant!
For Pete's sake, Doc, what's the matter? Why, you're all messed up.
Never mind about me. It's my wife.
Where is she?
Just outside the house. There were three of them. They attacked me first, and then one of them hit my wife. I think she's dying.
Come on, let's run for it. How did it happen, Doc?
Oh, just as we got home. We went in the back way, and I opened the door and went in first. I knew at once there were thieves in the house, for I could see a shadowy figure. I called out to my wife, Julia, there's someone inside. You better go for help.
And then?
Then something hit me on the head, and I fell to the floor. I heard my wife scream, and then I heard someone say, you'd better fix her up. And then the back door slammed, and I heard my wife scream again, and then there was silence.
What happened next?
I don't know. I was dazed. Finally, I managed to make my way out to the backyard. Robbers had gone, and my wife was lying there unconscious and moaning. Yeah, pretty bad way, I guess. I do hope we get there before she dies.
You seem pretty sure she will die.
Oh, I'm a doctor, aren't I?
Dr. Wilton's analysis is accurate enough, for his wife dies in hospital at 11:45 that night. It's not to be wondered at, for she has been struck on the head 17 times. The case is quickly reported to the New York police authorities, and District Attorney Frederick Weeks comes down personally to take the investigation in hand.
Empty brandy bottle, three glasses, two soiled teacups, three chairs drawn up the table, cigarette butts, matches, and a cigar stub on the floor. Well, looks like your burglars had quite a party before you got home, Dr. Wilkins.
It certainly looks that way, Mr. District Attorney.
Have you checked up to see if anything was stolen?
Well, as far as I can see, nothing from the house, but when they knocked me down, they must have taken my watch and a stick pin set with diamonds, and my wallet.
How much was in the wallet?
Well, I couldn't be sure. About $50, I think.
Hmm. Can you describe your assailants?
Only very vaguely. I didn't get much of a look at them. One was a tall man, and the other was a little fat man.
And the third?
I don't believe I saw him at all.
Well, then why are you so certain you saw three men?
Well, the three chairs and the three glasses, for instance.
But you didn't see those until you returned with Officer Snyder.
Well, I don't know. I guess I just knew instinctively that there were three.
I've got the weapons, Chief.
Good. Let's see them.
Here's the first one. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of half-inch lead pipe wrapped in sacking. Looks like that's what you were socked with, Doc.
Good heaven. No wonder I'm alive.
This is what they did Mrs. Wilkins in with.
A machinist's hammer?
Yeah. Wrapped up in newspaper and tied with cord.
Any more clues?
None that I can see, sir.
Well, it gives us something to work on anyhow. By the way, Dr. Wilkins, I understand your wife was wealthy.
Well, yes, quite well off. Her father made a fortune, left most of it to her.
Does she have much property?
Yes, quite a bit. This house is hers, of course, and she owned, or rather, I should say owned, several apartments in New York City.
New York City, I presume she's left a will.
Well, I suppose she has. I'm her second husband, you know. Her first husband was a man named Otto Krause. He was agent for a whiskey company. In 1903, when she married to Krause, she made a will leaving most of her property to charity.
And since then?
Well, I don't rightly know. When we were married in 1906, she said she was going to make a new will in my favor, but well, I've never seen it, and I don't know if she ever did.
Despite the arduous efforts of District Attorney Weeks and a whole crew of detectives, the investigation makes little headway. After several fruitless weeks, residents of Long Beach hold an indignation meeting, and newspaper reporters begin to pester the district attorney and his assistants for statements. One of them even approaches Dr. Wilkins and suggests that maybe it was he who killed his wife. Wilkins' reply is to the point.
I ought to feel indignant, but any such suggestion is so nonsensical it makes me laugh. My wife's death was the worst possible thing that could have happened to me. She was a good wife, a good nurse, a pleasant companion, and the person from whom I got my money. Unless the missing will is found, and there is no guarantee that it even exists, I am left practically penniless. At the age of 67, I'll have to go back into active practice.
2 days later, in his New York office, District Attorney Weeks hears news of the missing will.
Come in.
Sir, I've just had a telephone call from Lawyer Price.
Price? Who's he?
The late Julia Wilkins' attorney.
Oh. Yeah, what's he want?
Well, he says Doc Wilkins came in this morning and handed in a second will signed by his wife. Reckons he found it in the attic. It's dated 1915 and it hasn't been witnessed.
I see. I gather left everything to Wilkins.
Yes, sir. All except a few small items of jewelry.
This is what we've been waiting for. Now, at last, we've got a motive. Have a warrant issued and send someone down to Long Beach and put Dr. Wilkins under arrest.
What charge, sir?
Eh? What charge do you think? Murder, of course.
But how do you figure that out?
Simple as ABC. Wait a minute. I'll read you my notes on this. Point one. The newspaper in which the hammer was wrapped was one Wilkins subscribed to. He was seen reading a copy of it on the train. Point two, the string around the hammer is being traced to a butcher's shop where Wilkins traded.
So
Wait a minute. Point three. A handyman who did some work in Wilkins' home says that he saw the hammer in Wilkins' tool chest. Claims he remembers it by a streak of green paint on the handle. And point four, the stick pin and the watch Wilkins claims were stolen from him, they were found stuffed in the back of a couch in his house. And point five, the glasses that the attackers were supposed to have used have no fingerprints on them. None. But Wilkins. And if this isn't enough to arrest a man, then I don't know how to handle a murder case.
So the warrant is issued. But Wilkins must have had a premonition of disaster, for he is gone when the police reach his home. 2 days later, he is picked up in Baltimore. At the trial, Wilkins defends himself with vigor.
Order! Order! Order, please! The prisoner will proceed.
The evidence against me is all circumstantial. I submit that it is not the sort of evidence on which any jury would dare to convict. Why should I kill my wife? We were happy together. She was generous with her money. I never wanted for a thing. Why should I kill her? For weeks before my arrest, the authorities were badgered by the press and the public to produce results. I suggest, in fact, I assert quite positively, gentlemen, that to still this clamor, they were determined to produce a murderer. And therefore, they deliberately framed me.
Order! Order! Order in the court!
It takes the jury exactly 22 hours and 23 minutes to make up its mind. Then the members file back into court. And the foreman says,
"We find the accused, Walter Wilkins, guilty of murder in the first degree."
I protest!
Order! Order! Walter Wilkins, it is now my duty to pass upon you sentence of death.
You can't send me to the chair. I won't let you. I won't let you, I tell you. I won't let you. I won't let you.
And little Dr. Wilkins is as good as his word. On the day after his conviction...
Come on, Wilkins. The warden wants to have a yarn to you. There's some... Wilkins. Now, come on, come on. Say, what goes on here? Hey, someone get the doctor. There's a guy in here strung himself up.
But in the long run, it didn't matter much. It just saved an executioner's fee. Out of the night comes the whispering voice of the night wind with stories taken from the highway of life. Strange, but true.